everybody. Welcome back to Can You Put Me on Guest List? This week, my guest is Alex Trippi. Alex is the CEO and co-founder of the Pete Tong DJ Academy, an online e-learning platform that was launched last year and is made up over 90 lessons that cover every aspect of a career in DJing, taught by some of the biggest names in the game, including Carl Cox, Nicole Mudaba, Jamie Jones, and Adam Beyer. During this year's International Music Summit here in Ibiza, the winner of the Academy's DJ competition was announced. So we chat all about what it was that the mentors were looking for in the chosen winner, which of the lessons are the most important ones to learn, the most common mistakes artists make when starting out, and so much more. This episode is brought to you by Body Training Studio Ibiza. With the summer season in full swing, it's a little bit hard to keep on top of training, which is why Body Training Studio's 20-minute full body EMS workout is perfect, as it's a muscle building, toning and sculpting workout designed to reach your goals 5 to 6 times faster than a traditional workout. You burn up to 1,200 calories and work up to 95% of your muscles' fiber in depth. Head over to bodytrainingstudio.be for more information and to book a trial. And now here's the podcast. Enjoy.
Was it really hard to choose a winner?
Wow, it was tough because first of all, we have now in the Pete Tong DJ Academy, we have like, we passed the 2000 student mark.
Wow.
So from 55 countries, actually. So we are getting people from all over the world. It's amazing. It's a super community. And we got 400 submissions for the Future Talent Awards. And each submission had 1 hour DJ set to listen to.
So you've listened to 400 sets.
400 hours of DJ sets. It was 2 months in the office. It was like a DJ set every hour on the background. And, you know, sometimes you just had that, oh, this is cool.
Yeah. Cool.
Who's this one? And then we have a big screen in the office, and the Vanessa, that is the one leading this student piece, projected the profile on the big screen. So, okay, like, note this down as one of the possible finalists. And then we reached like a 50 shortlist, and then we decided the 10. And Pete listened to each to the finalist one. Carl, to Adam, Nicole, Sama, they all listen to the finalists. So already this, it's an amazing thing. You know what I mean? You are.
Yeah. So literally like the biggest DJs in the world have listened to your DJ set. So
so this is amazing. And they picked. So we got the 10 finalists.
Yeah.
And out of the 10 finalists, we have one Grand Prix winner. That is the one Pete choose.
Yeah.
And every one of the others has they have their own awards. The cool bit is they had the 10 finalists to choose from. And so Pete choose her winner actually is Costanza Puceta. She's from Argentina.
Okay.
And you cannot imagine the face when we did the Zoom call to tell her.
Oh, what was her reaction like?
She was starting kind of close to crying, you know. No, I cannot imagine. I said, you know, you will be flying to Ibiza, because she flew to Ibiza to get the award from Pete. And she played Dalt Villa. So, you know, we had to get her from Argentina.
Yeah.
And then she also got the Nicole Mudaber Award and the Carl Cox Award.
So she won all three of them awards.
She got 3 awards.
She must be amazing. So
there is something there. She's very, very good, talented, great stage presence, fresh. She knows what she does with the turntable. So I'm very curious to see how this develop. And on top of playing the Dalt Villa on Ibiza, they will get dedicated press team. They will get play with their award during the year. So Carl will bring Costanza to play with him once. Same thing with Nicole. Same thing will do Pete with Costanza. And then we have Sama picked. This is a very good story, actually.
Oh, I love a good story. Tell us.
We had Liz Somers. That is a 60-year-old lady playing techno. And amazing. She made into the Future Talents Award. That is amazing.
I love and that.
Actually, yeah, she got a personal tough story. She got some physical problems. And after those, because I want to focus on the nice part, I'm not like the social shots. But after those, she realized she loved techno at 55. So she started to learn playing. She started to learn production. So she's producing techno now at 60. And she started to DJ. And she's super cool. And Summer picked her as her award. So she will go playing with Summer around the world as her prize. So this is amazing. Oh,
I love that. See, that just goes to show you can accomplish anything at any stage. Anything. I love that.
I loved it. And she has this natural passion and feeling. You know, it's kind of, and this is what this academy is about, frankly, a part of the business. It's really trying to focus on developing the new generation of DJs. Yeah. And this can be a 16-year-old and a 60-year-old, you know? It's just that you have passion and you don't do this for the money or waving your hands up, but you do because you love playing music for people. That is actually what DJing is about.
Absolutely.
And I have to say, reviewing these 400 DJ sets, you really spot in a second, maybe a second not, but you need 30 seconds, frankly.
But what is it that you find in 30 seconds that is different to somebody else?
Seconds, you notice two things. One, if they are nervous, super nervous, because they're not comfortable still with the technology or the fact they've been recorded with their iPhone and they know that they're gonna fuck up something, and so they are stressed.
Yeah.
And so they think, okay, if I put this one in front of 5,000 people in the Dalt Villa, it's gonna be a mess because the level is gonna be this high. So first one is confidence. You really see someone that is at ease what he's doing.
Mm.
Maybe he's even a rookie, you know, but sometimes you just see a very young one, maybe starting, but he's confident because maybe he's not playing with 5 decks or trying to do 25 tricks. He just play with 2 tracks and a mixer, but he does with a confident approach. And this is important. And the other one is the music selection sometime. You don't spot it in 30 seconds, but the first track they play mixed on the way they behave tells you a lot. Because if this is a track that is on all the charts and you see them a bit nervous, they already feel that this is something, there is nothing at this stage, at this moment. Probably through the set, you're going to hear the same tracks that you hear everywhere. And the way he will play or she will play will be a bit static or academic or a bit, you know, still at the early stage of DJing. When someone opens with something fresh, I mean, fresh, and I don't know, something that gives you like, wow, what is this?
Something different.
Or maybe it's also a track that you know, but they play in a different way. Mm. Maybe the intro somehow, reinterpreting it. And they do this with confidence, even if they are recording in front of a camera, you know there will be something there. Maybe not everyone will deliver a great set, but when it starts in a certain way, usually you found something throughout the set that is consistent and there is something interesting there. Of course, we had more than 10. We had like probably 50 were very, very good. People I would let play everywhere.
So the girl that won, sorry, just to remind me of her name again.
The Grand Prix winner is Constanza Puceta.
Constanza Puceta. So Peak chose her to win, but then she also won the other two awards.
Yeah.
Did P and was it Nicole and Carl that gave the other two awards? Did Nicole and Carl know that Pete had chose her as well, or did it just
I didn't put them in copy. So I sent the finalists to each one with the team because I didn't want them to talk to each other. And so when I received back the answers and was like Constanza Puceta, Constanza Puceta, Constanza Puceta, I would say, wow,
She must be amazing.
Yeah, and imagine that on top of them, pit managers, cart manager, and all the other managers listened to them. And they were chatting back to me and with the team. Oh, I like this one. I like the other one. So imagine the level of exposure.
Absolutely.
You are getting throughout this program. So I was
really excited for her.
I was, when I was young, I wanted to have something like this, you know. I had to crawl the whole network to get today. And frankly, this is from your bedroom to the center.
I guess this is the beauty behind what you guys do. It's something that, as you said before, didn't really exist and people really didn't have access to. But now, especially with the mentors that you have at the academy, yeah, and the knowledge and the technology that everything behind, it's a really exciting time for people to be able to learn, network, and reach their goals. Because before, nobody really had these type of opportunities. It was very much right place.
And today you have, there is many people want to be a DJ. Everyone wants to be a DJ.
Yeah. Okay.
So, you get, our tutors get people proposing new DJ to them every day.
Mm.
What we are doing is creating a funnel, some filters before. So the people that are, we also have a partnership now with Apple. So for example, we got the Python DJ Academy page on Apple Music, and monthly our students get featured on Apple Music DJ mixes among the top 100 DJs in the world, because Apple Music has only the top 300 DJs. So from Marcel Plex to Tale of Us, just those names.
Yeah.
You don't find
upcoming DJs,
BVDJ or from, you cannot go and upload. So they found themselves monthly among those DJs.
Insane.
And we are growing. We have 2,000 students, but you see that you have 100, 200 that start to pop up in the DJ mixes. They're candidate for the Future Talents Award. We're very strong. So you start to see that there are very good ones. And then we propose those to our tutors team. And in this way, they're open. And you have to see the passion they are putting behind this thing, because it goes back to what they love.
Yeah.
They love to discover great DJs, to discover great artists. So if you remove the stress of the business, you remove from them the touring schedule, the all these things, and you say, okay, there are 10 young DJs that are the best of the academy. Watch them. Let me know which one you love. You cannot imagine Carl. He was like, I like this, I like that one, but this other one was. And you say, wow, you're spending so much time in this that is precious. This is really precious. And this is why I'm very passionate about this, because you see these big people
that
are all this energy and time in the new generation, frankly, it's amazing.
Yeah. So just going back a little bit to the beginning. So you own and run Matt Academy, right? Which is the group behind a lot of the biggest DJ courses, including obviously the Pete Tong DJ Academy, which we've just been talking about.
Yeah.
When did you start Matt Academy, and why did you start it in the first place?
We started now, it's like 2015.
Okay.
Something like this. Before, my life was completely different. I was working for a big multinational company. It was called Procter & Gamble. Probably you know it.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like the suit and tie guy in the building. And I spent like 14 years doing that type of life. But I was always DJ and a producer. And so with my business partner, when I felt it was like a jail for me, the usual multinational corporation work, I said, I'm done. I need to quit. I want to do something different. I want to work in music in my life. That's my life. And so we started Matt Academy, that actually has born because we are producers on top of having this nice studio for the call. So I just built this to make an impression during the
call. I did think that. I was like, this is a very nice studio background.
Actually, this is our studio. It's one of the
really lovely, really nice.
But the reality is, when we started producing, we were, this is something I'm not very proud of, but I did. We were in a TV show in Italy that was called Top DJ. So it was like this kind of MasterChef for DJs.
Oh, wow.
It was nice. It was on Sky TV. So it was prime time, national.
Okay.
And the so we were starting to have our small numbers in the UK club chart and stuff. So they called us and say, oh, we're searching for the Italian producers and DJs that are growing. We went there. It was very pop thing. We pretend or we are a bit more underground. I don't know if we pretend more to be underground or if we are really underground. Okay. But the, for sure, we are not pop in the, yes. in the pop television. But actually, we got the stamp of, oh, those are the DJs of the television in Italy, blah, 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 blah. And I hated this. But actually, this changed everything for us in Italy. And we started to get lots of fun asking us, how do you produce? How you did this thing when you were in the show? Blah, 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 blah. And so we start gave advice on the social networks. And then one day we say, why we don't build an academy out of this? Mm. People are asking, they like what we do. And so we spent a year writing the courses. So it was done in a proper way, leveraging all the background we had. So we built the platform, we built the courses, we built the marketing team, blah, blah, blah. And then we launched. Mm-hmm. And it boomed in Italy. It was like subscription after subscription after subscription. So from there, and it was myself and my business partner, like really the good stories, in my basement and my face.
In your basement?
We didn't have anything of this thing. We was in my basement.
But they always say like the best businesses always start in basements and garages.
It was really like this. It was not the garage. It was a place in the basement. But it was our studio where we did everything. So we recorded on our own. We did the social media managers. We did the recording crew. We did the editors. We did everything.
All of the courses in there.
Yeah, we also invented the name for the student assistant. It was Ivano, that he never existed. I don't know if I have to say this, but I will tell.
Yeah. tell us.
So people were asking, okay, what would I have to do for the homework? And we couldn't share that it was always me and Nello.
Yeah.
Doing everything. So we say, let's invent a fake person. So we created the email that was Ivano. That was the name of this invented person that was answering to the students, but actually it was us. So it was
as if there was other people in the team.
And amazing. When we did the student calls for the questions, they say, oh, I send the homework to Ivano. And we say, oh, yes,
Ivano.
He gave us yesterday. Thank you for... And then it started. It started like this.
And then it started to boom. So you
go.
No. I was just going to say that I think I read somewhere about Pete's Academy that there's over 90 lessons that cover every aspect of a career, of a DJ career. What do you feel like are the lessons that students are most keen to learn about? And which of the lessons do you think are the most important ones to learn? Because it's not the same, the ones that you want to learn, but the ones that are also the most important ones.
Great question, and I like this distinction. Of course, I believe the one they love is a 90 lesson program. So what we did is kind of, we tried to understand what are the things you need to learn. That is exactly what you said. Because people may think, okay, I want to learn how to beat match, give me some tracks, and I'm going to rock. Finished.
Yeah.
And actually, this is nothing. It's just a tiny, tiny piece of what being a DJ is. So we sat down. We already did this in Italy with the Italian Academy. So we have another course for Italy. We have Ilario Alicante, Medusa, all the big, Luca Agnelli, Adiel. So they are all on the Italian, in Italian for Italy. So we learned a lot from that academy, and we transfer on the Piton DJ Academy all the learnings we had. And then we sat down with Pete, with Jamie, with Nicole. So we got all other insights in. And the program goes from, yes, the technical skills, how to beat match, how to learn to count beats and bars. But then we went through all the things you don't learn in the books, like how to behave at the DJ booth, how to read the crowd, how to work your relationship with the promoters, how when you play a back-to-back, for example, there is the whole back-to-back lesson. It's not only on, okay, don't move the fader of the other DJ when he's playing. That is probably intuitive, but it's really how to work the relationship into a back-to-back, what this means in terms of psychological relation between the DJs. And on all the most interesting lesson for me are on the soft skills piece. That is something you don't find anywhere else. On this, I can be really sure. This is a unique thing you find in these academies. You learn the point of view. There is the whole piece on how to build your start part of the career, how to start from your city, your local scene, and why this is important. And you recognize the same pattern, even if they are completely different, but actually they are all the same in Pete, Carl, Jamie, Nicole, Adam. They are all with the same partner, working your local scene, creating a movement, having a following, starting from your zone, doing your 10,000 hours. So they all started doing weddings or free parties or
school parties or that kind of thing.
Like this, you know? And when you learn these from those names, that things didn't happen for magic because you did one hit single, but it started from the beginnings, from the basics, from the passion. And then this goes out to body language. Okay, how do you play the body language at the DJ booth? Why you can be more overt or more intimate? How do you relate with your own self while you are playing? All those type of things are very interesting. So I think all the soft skills lessons are the one I would say you should learn, but people will never subscribe to the academy for those, because I know they want to get into the academy to learn how to play and then eventually get into the talent pool that now is strong. But they will benefit from those other. And I think probably one single technical lesson, that is a mix between technical lesson and soft skill, is how to, there are three lessons on this, is how to build the flow of a set. Meaning, when you create a DJ set, and I'm not saying a pre-planned DJ set, is even learning on how to go on the fly, but respecting the energy structure a DJ set must have. When you get experience as a DJ, you learn that you cannot be always at the top.
At the top.
You cannot be always at the bottom, no matter which BPM you're playing. This is true everywhere. It's like if you're doing a marathon, or you cannot be always pushing for 3 hours.
Yeah.
Same thing is with this is a bit, is half is psychological and physical. Your earring, after too much pressure, and your body start to go in protection mode. So this is also physical. But this is also the enjoyable part of the DJ set. So you have these kind of things that you call a wave. So when you learn, and this depends on the venue, the time of the day, the length of your DJ set. Because if you have 1 hour, the things you can do and the wave you can build is completely different if this is 2 hours on 4 hours.
Yeah.
And the way you sequence your DJ set, and as such, the way you prepare your record pack must be done in a way that when you are there, you are able to get in connection with the crowd and make them start this journey. And there is a very in-depth piece of technical lesson on these that really transform. I received the feedback from the students. And when they pass through this piece, they write back saying, okay, now I have learned, I understand why sometimes when I'm into a DJ set, I feel I'm starting to go somewhere else, yeah, and I'm just hooked into what is happening. Another time I completely don't connect. And this is where a DJ knows what he does.
That is super interesting, because you're so right in saying that when you think of like a DJ course, you would never think that you would, like, these are the kind of lessons that need to be learned, or these are the kind of things that you have to keep in mind. Even like, as you said, to body language, or how do you act when you're in a DJ booth, or how do you network? They're not really things that you really think of, but are super, super, super important, especially at the beginning of somebody's career. What do you think are the most common mistakes that people that are just starting out as DJs or producers make?
One is pretending things will happen as fast as you desire, mm, and then get frustrated, mm-hmm, and then get pushy with people that may help you. That probably is the biggest mistake you can do in your life. Relationship in this industry are the most precious thing you can build, and the best thing can help you progress in your career. And this is not like talking about the mafia thing. Oh, I know that guys will make me play. It's just that you prove you are good in doing what you do. You show people you are worth as a DJ, as a promoter, as radio conductor, whatever. Okay. And then you build your relationships. Yeah. And building your relationships mean usually you go up one level. If you try to connect with Pete Tong when you are in one, you may be lucky. Someone may happen. But this will never happen, this jump.
Yeah.
You need to grow your network step by step. And this goes back to the normal human being relationship. Be polite, be nice, respect people, give to receive. When you respect those rules and you are good at doing something, things will happen. And if you then get obsessed by stuff, things won't move. You start to call people, why you didn't do this? Why you didn't listen to my DJ mix? Can you make me play? Can you do this? Can you do that? Bam, 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 bam. You didn't answer to my email. You are in the trash bin. Done. I don't want to listen to you anymore. So passion is one thing. Being pushy and rude and is another one. Okay. So this is the biggest mistake I see everyone does. I started to manage artists 6 years ago, and I stopped 5 years ago. I still have a couple of them that I love because they are not a pain in the ass. But frankly, managing artists, and I'm also an artist, is the worst thing you can do in your life. Worst thing you can do in your life. It's kind of being like I don't know how you say in English, when you know,
like a punch bag
and a psychologist and
a mom
for your artist, and everything that goes wrong is your fault.
Yeah.
And
I'm sure there's cases that are not that bad, but I'm sure.
For sure. Yeah. And I have a few of them, and I kept only those two because they became friends. I'm helping them doing stuff, and they're very good. They know how to do things on their own, and they are not like kind of the other type of artists. But actually, I'm an artist manager as my job. So I have the luxury of doing this for the artist management for passion. It's kind of helping friends connecting and developing.
Yeah.
I'm not stressed about this. But if this is your main job, wow, it's really, really tough.
Yeah.
Really tough. You really need to have a special skills to do this.
Yeah.
It's super tough because they get frustrated completely every time.
Are the artists that you manage artists that you have come across the academies?
Yes, I discovered them through the academy. Because, you know, all our academies, the Italian one and the Piton DJ Academy, we also had the Axton Academy with Axwell. They all have a talent pool. Because when we created those academies, we tried to create those as, okay, what we would like to have when we were young and we didn't know anything is someone that teaches us how to do it. And if we learn well and we produce great stuff, they help us connect with the right labels and teams. Because this is very hard to do, especially back in time. And so we started to pitch all the different labels and management teams saying, okay, we do this for you. We get the people, we train them, we filter them, we get the best ones, and we give them to you. They are happy because they don't do a work that they should do. Mm-hmm. The students are happy. We're happy because they subscribe to the academy. So we are all happy. Everyone is happy. And so this is happening month after month. We're getting demos, DJ sets, producing. So we have many artists. We study, we scan, and the best one we pitch. So I have one now. The one I manage in Italy, he's now been signed to Universal Music as a major. He's in the A-list roadster. We're writing his new album there with the biggest Italian artist. So it's a big thing. Another one, he went on drum code with Adam even before knowing Adam.
Because Adam is also one of the mentors on the Pete Tong Academy, right?
Announced on the 14th of this month of April. Mm-hmm. Adam and Sam Abdullahi, they have been added as tutors in the academy. Adam has been already shoot and the videos are already available. And Sam will be shoot later this before the summer, so content will be available during the summer.
Mm. I bet this job for you is really, really rewarding as well, because it's like you see artists that come in from the very beginning and to see how they grow and how they develop from the beginning of starting the course to the end and then reaching or accomplishing certain goals must be a really satisfying and rewarding feeling for you and everyone that works at the academy.
Super rewarding because you really work with the passion and the dreams of people. Actually, if you just remove 1 second again the economical business side, business. So it's kind of, we sell the courses, it's an academy, it's a business, but actually, this is an excuse to give us the time to do things we love. It's like working with new people, working with artists, see them grow, connecting them with dream things like Constanza, that from Argentina playing her bedroom, now he's playing the Villa main stage with Pete and Camofet and the all the big name in the industry. So those things are super rewarding. There is also a frustration piece, I have to say, that is linked to the fact that this is when you see the artists that are different from the wannabe artists. The frustration point is when they are not constant. They are not able to fulfill their own dream. Mm-hmm. I try to explain this better. We have plenty of students that did like this. They got excited, they get a great track, but they didn't realize that being an artist, one, you have something to say that is special. It's not just because you are able to mix or you are able to put a track into a sequencer, you are an artist. You may be a good technical person, but you may not be an artist. An artist is someone that has the knowledge on how to write a track or mix, but also something to say.
Yeah.
When you have those two things, you make all yourself an artist, even if you don't sell a record, frankly. And even if you don't play anywhere. You are still an artist. You know the art and you have something to say. Dan, for me, you are a complete artist. The other piece is they don't have the passion to follow this through the months, the years, being focused on what they want to do. And this is where you get frustrated. For example, I have a couple of examples. I won't tell you the names because they already did something interesting. But then they disappeared. They got confused. They didn't get into keeping the rhythm. So you spend so much time on making them grow, putting them in the right labels, helping them to develop. They reach the stuff. And then, I don't know. I'm a bit frustrated.
Why do you think that is?
I think this is very psychological. I think if you are like this, you are like this in many aspects of your life. So it's not just related of this specific part of being an artist. And of course, I'm not criticizing anyone that may be a bit more slow or may not have the drive of moving the mountains, because frankly, anyone could be the way they are. And anyone deserves to be happy. So if you discover that this thing is not making you as happy as you wanted, or even if you leave this bad because you say, oh, I reached this level, I could go even farther, you are not able to do this because frankly, at the end, the pressure is high, whatever, and then you feel even more bad about the whole thing.
Yeah,
that's your life. You know, I stop to criticize people and push them in the direction I feel it's right for you. Because frankly, it's your life. But I believe that sometimes people don't realize that this is a job. I always make the example, nice job, full of great pleasures, but it's a job. Mm. Because you don't go, you do a surgery on the heart of someone without studying for 15 years, without getting updated month after month, without going at work, not drunk, but focused.
Yeah.
Okay. So here you have some luxury that you can be drunk sometimes. You can enjoy the things.
Sometimes.
Exactly. You can enjoy the stuff you are doing even a bit more freely, but this is a job. Mm. So you need to be constant. You need to play this as a job. You need to study. You need to be focused. And people don't think to this industry this way, the young people. So they just feel, okay, I make a track or I get releases on this label, and now that things will go with the flow. I don't need to focus. I don't need to apply myself. Someone will take care of me, my manager, by the way.
Who can't deal with me anymore.
Exactly. So this is, I think, this is where I'm getting frustrated still in this job.
If you could give one piece of advice to somebody that would want to pursue a career in music, what would it be?
Don't give a shit of what is out there. I still do this mistake.
Mm-hmm.
10 years in the business, working with the biggest name in the industry, teaching this thing, writing it on my wall, and I still do the mistake. So just for everyone that is watching, this is hard. Is the hardest piece of the job is ignore what is out there in the charts.
Mm.
Ignore everything else you see and tell your own story through the music you play or you make. If you make music you're gonna love in 10 years' time to listen back or to play now in your DJ sets. I produce tons of tracks that I never play in my sets. Never, never. I prepare my sets and I put tracks, other tracks.
So you're making music that really you don't really enjoy.
I don't do this mistake anymore. But when I was young,
you did, yeah.
I did a lot of mistakes like this because I wanted to do the track sounding like that chart. It was cool, it was nice. But then I play other stuff because I want other things. Maybe are less attractive for the big labels. I don't care. And frankly, labels are plenty of people doing that music. They're not waiting for you.
Yeah.
So if you produce music, just do things that you love. When you're in the studio, makes you cry if you write emotional music, or makes you stand up and dance if you're doing a dance track, but it's something that you are eager to go and play or you want to listen out.
Yeah.
With your own sound. If you play as a DJ, we are in the best moment of history. There is no more boundaries. You can play the fuck you want.
Mm.
No one gives a judgment anymore. I love Tisha the way she's playing because she mixes in the same set techno, Afrobeat, down tempo, drum and bass.
Mm.
And I saw happening this in 1 hour one day. And she, she know how to portray this in a flow that it's normal.
Yeah.
But you just feel it because she's feeling it. So, and no one's saying, ah, she's not a purist. Oh, is she a techno DJ or is she a house DJ? Who cares?
Why do we have to have labels?
But then, you know, you remember even 10 years ago, okay, or I don't want to make names. You know, everyone was, okay, I'm more techno, so I'm more linked to that label and I do this thing and I don't play the tracks of those people. I was in Lost Village Festival in UK, in the north of UK last year. And I saw Ame from Amen Dixon playing a 4-hour set. And towards closure, he played a Swedish House Mafia track.
Really?
Ame playing something from Swedish House Mafia, for me, was the happiest moment of my DJ life, meaning, okay, you can do whatever you want.
Whatever you want to do.
And it's easier for someone that is big, because this is cool. Ame playing Swedish. Wow, he can do whatever he wants. He can play even the ring bell of whatever. Yeah. It's Ame. But if you are young, is where you should start creating your own story. And if you like that sound that is mixed with this other sound, then you say, no one gives a shit about this thing. Just play that thing. And you will create something. Today, I've listened to 400 hours of DJ sets in the last 2 months. And half of them, they were identical.
Really? Yeah.
Maybe changing tracks, changing stuff. But the groove, the thing was, okay, I can put 200 people in the same room and they will play the same thing. So I don't want those 200 DJs.
Mm.
I want the one that are different, fresh, interesting, that bring me somewhere I didn't know I liked it. So getting back to your question, be yourself and sound like no one else is the single things will give you a chance to build a career.
That was great advice and lots of great examples in there. Thank you.
Thank you.
To end, because I know that you are on a bit of a time limit today, I ask everybody the same question at the end of the podcast. Because the podcast is called Can You Put Me On Guest List? My question for you is, I'm not asking you for guest list. do you have a guest list rule?
For being added to the guest list or to add people to our guest list?
To help people be added to your guest list.
I'll be transparent and a bit getting back to what we said. Transparency is you get people you want in also to build network. Mm-hmm. So frankly, it's a great way of creating exchange and network. And the other one, I always try to add people that are nice and polite. So this goes back to the first rule is if you don't push, if you showed through interest in what we are doing outside of the event, you will be in our guest list for sure. Because I don't like people ringing just when it's a free ticket needed. I like people interested in what we are doing. So maybe we wrote together, even if you're not a partner, so I'm not interested in what you're doing, but you are a young someone, but showed interest for what we're doing. And then one day you drop a message, I'm passing by, and there's a chance for a guest list or whatever. I will add you even before a partner, while I will never add you if you are the one pushing all the times and not being interested in what we do.
Yep. That kind of just goes back to what we were saying before. It's just like general life, isn't it, really? Just be polite, be nice, don't be pushy, and everything's easier. Alex, thank you so, so much for joining me on Can You Put Me On Guest List.
I've gone for hours.
Me too. I feel like next year we're going to have to do another one because this book is starting to become a yearly thing now. This time last year, we also did a radio interview. This year it's a podcast. Let's see what it's for next year.
I like it.
Thank you so, so much.
Thank you.
I'll see you soon.
Have a nice day. Ciao, ciao.
You too. Bye.